In our devotion, The Terrifying Mountain, we saw that the law of God had been given to the nation of Israel, but we also saw it was not a replacement for the promises of God to Abraham. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 3, the law which came 430 years later doesn't invalidate the promise God already made to Abraham. So I want us to be clear about that. What God is doing through the law and what he's doing through Israel as a nation is only an outworking of that promise he's already made to Abraham, specifically the promise that in you will all the nations of the earth be blessed. Even in the giving of the law and the choosing of the nation of Israel as a special people, it's with the end goal of blessing all nations through them. Now, as we progress through the history of Israel as a nation through the rest of the Old Testament, we need to have a right mindset about what God's doing. It's fair to say there are many schools of thought about Israel, but basically two ways to think about national Israel. First, is Israel a nation that God has chosen to bless even as he rejects the rest of the world? Or secondly, Israel is the nation God has blessed so that he can appeal to the rest of the world. If we keep in mind that God is continually working toward that fulfillment of his promise to Abraham, that in you will all the nations of the earth be blessed, it's going to draw us toward that second line of thinking. Israel's the nation God has blessed so that he can appeal to the rest of the world. In fact, if we listen to what God himself says, it's going to end that debate. Let's back up again to Exodus 19. Just before the terrifying mountain experience at Mount Sinai, and let's see something that God says to the nation of Israel. Exodus 19, verses 3 through 6. Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if you'll obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel. Now, God makes three very clear statements about his intention with the nation of Israel there. First off, there'll be a peculiar treasure, a special treasure, a treasured people. Let's never doubt that God chose Israel and they are a special treasure to him. However, in choosing Israel, God did not forget his promise to their father Abraham that he would bless all the nations of the earth. God says here, you're a special treasure, but he says, all the earth is mine. That is a fantastic statement of what we call monotheism. The idea there is one God. The polytheistic thought of their day was that each nation had a god or gods, and that they were all in competition with one another. But God even says in verse 4, you saw what I did in Egypt, right? They're not other gods than Yahweh. And so he tells Israel, you're a special people to me, but all the earth is mine. While making this claim on Israel, God also maintains his claim and his plan for all people. That's the first statement of his purpose for Israel. They're a special treasure. Now, I want you to see another statement of purpose. They're to be a holy nation. The word holy here means separate. They're going to be a nation that is distinct from other nations. They'll be separate. They'll be different. They're going to dress differently and eat differently. God's going to give them standards of righteousness that are distinct from others. Now, don't get this backwards. They aren't chosen as a special treasure because of how different they are. They are different because they are chosen by God. Their holiness, their separation, is a result of God's choice, not the cause of it. They must be different and separate to accomplish God's purpose for them. You'll see this in the last statement of purpose I want to point out. They're a special treasure to God. They're a holier, separate from other nations, because in between there, God intends them to be, it says, a kingdom of priests. Now, we know later that the tribe of Levi is called to be a tribe of priests on behalf of the nation of Israel. But that's not what God's talking about here. Yahweh's purpose with Israel is that they would be a priestly kingdom. Priests were called on to represent people before God. Later on, if you wanted to bring a sacrifice, you couldn't just walk to the altar and do it yourself. You took it to a priest who represented you before God. They acted as a go-between. Here, God's saying the purpose with Israel as a nation is that they would be a priestly kingdom. This God who proclaims himself the God of all the earth and has promised to bless all the nations of the earth has chosen the nation of Israel in order to mediate those blessings. Choosing to bless Israel as a special people is not because God rejects all the rest of the earth. He proclaims himself God of all the earth. He has a plan to bless all the nations. And he's using Israel as theologians of old like to say, a channel of blessing. So through Israel, all the nations get an example of living in a covenant relationship with God. Through Israel, God speaks to all the nations as he delivers his word through the prophets of Israel. If you're following Andrew and Randy's excellent series in Ruth on Thursdays, you've learned people of other nations could proclaim faith in God and join Israel in that covenant relationship with him. Later on, when King Solomon builds the temple, we'll see he dedicates that place to worship Yahweh, not for the nation alone, but for all people. Look at what he says at the dedication. "Moreover, concerning the stranger that is not of thy people Israel, but comes out from a far country for your name's sake, for they shall hear of your great name and your strong hand and of your stretched out arm. When he shall come and pray toward this house, hear thou in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all the stranger calls to you for, that all people of the earth may know your name, to fear you as they do your people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have built is called by your name." Right? God's to hear in heaven and do what the stranger, what the foreigner calls on him for, that all the people on the earth would know the name of God, just as the people of Israel do. God's relationship with Israel works to further his plan for all the world. So in Exodus, he's taking them to this promised land, this piece of land the rabbis would refer to as the navel of the world, right? The center of everything. You can see this by looking at a map of Israel. It's located on a land bridge between Africa, Europe, or Asia. Look at this famous colored woodcut from the 16th century where Heinrich Bunting famously depicted Jerusalem as the center of a clover of continents. The nation lost sight of this, expecting somehow they were going to be able to live in isolation, but God puts them there on this most traveled land bridge connecting three continents and makes them deal with the world, and he makes the world deal with them. And this was always part of God's plan, and it continued to be part of God's plan. In Isaiah 56, verses 6 and 7, we see this, "Also the sons of the stranger," the foreigner, "that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it and takes hold of my covenant. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people." The redemptive plan of God was not to call Israel to the exclusion of all other nations. It was to call Israel for the inclusion of other nations into his plan of redemption. The choice of this nation is, here's what I want you to see, the choice of this nation is pushing forward the agenda of God to bring his son Jesus into the world to fulfill that promise to Abraham that in you will all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's his purpose.